My brothers and sisters in Christ, God does nothing without purpose. Having conceived the idea of creating us as a union of body and soul, you know, we're between the inanimate objects and animals with no souls, and we're between them and the angels who have no body parts, but are pure spirit, and then the infinite spirit, God, we're in between. We're body and soul unities. But creating us that way and wanting to see us flourish, God gave us intelligence and freedom so that we might know the truth and then seek to do it, to know what is good and to do it during this life before enjoying eternal life with Him in heaven. So God, this is God's purpose in creating us and doing what making us the way He has. And when we turned away from Him by sinning, He refused to turn away from us. As St. Paul wrote to Timothy, God our Savior wills everyone to be saved and to come to knowledge of the truth. For there is one God. There's also one mediator between God and the human race, Christ Jesus, Himself human, who gave Himself as a ransom for all. Through His Son, the Father has put His plan for our eternal happiness back on track. But our salvation and eternal happiness are not automatic. It does matter how we live. We must respond to Jesus Christ and what He has done for us. The parable of the fishing net really speaks to that reality. Now, the net, this is how they fished in those times. They didn't use a pole. They threw out a net to capture the fish and then haul them in, right? So the net collects, as the parable goes, fish of every kind. And when it's full, they haul it ashore and they sit down and put into buckets what is good and what is bad to throw away. So the meaning is to belong to God's kingdom and inherit both the forgiveness of our sins and eternal life, we must use our freedom to do good and to love. Otherwise, we will lose that inheritance, not by God's fault, by ours. I ask you, what is most important to you in life? Your family? Your health? Your reputation or status in the community? Your material possessions? Or what do you rely on to help you meet the challenges that you face? Who can you count on? All that we have, all our relationships, our health and our reputation, all these things can fail us. The one abiding source of strength and comfort is God. To know God and to love and honor Him enables us to keep our head up when things are tough, and to do some good in this life, even though we are weak and unfortunately often sin. God is the one necessary thing. This is the point of the parable about the buried treasure and the pearl of great price. When we come to the belief that God is what matters most, then we have to do everything we can to put God at the center of our lives. Now, I knew a man years ago who made millions of dollars in real estate deals. As he dedicated himself to making money, he neglected his marriage, his family. He stopped praying and only went to church to keep up appearances. When a recession hit, some real estate deals went sour and he lost most of his wealth. That sobering experience made him reflect on his life. He started praying again. He went to Mass because he wanted God's blessing. And he began to repair the damage he had done to his wife and children. He had finally come to see that what mattered most was God. He found the buried treasure and the pearl of great price and bought it with his rejuvenated faith. You know, young King Solomon, he of the first reading, knew he lacked the experience and wisdom to govern the people of Israel. He might have been a teenager when became king. Imagine that, being ruled by a teenager. Well, some of them pretty good, but And Solomon realized, I need wisdom to govern God's people. So he prayed for an understanding heart to judge God's people and to distinguish right from wrong. That was the pearl of great price that he sought, and God blessed him with it. He's renowned for his great wisdom, isn't he? I often find myself, as your bishop, praying for wisdom too, since I have to make decisions that affect priests and deacons and lay people. I have to institute policies to address various situations. I have to see to the proper management of the material and spiritual resources of the diocese. I assure you, if I try to go it alone without relying on my own judgment, this diocese would be in worse shape than it is. Okay, I'm not saying we'd do the best job, but it would be much worse if I didn't talk to God and ask him to help me. I urge you then to make Jesus Christ his example and his teachings, his grace, and the benefit of being part of his people, the center of your lives. Let him be the treasure that you seek, the beautiful pearl that you desire. You know, an umbrella has a knob at the top center, that keeps all of the spokes in proper order. With Christ at the center of your lives, you will find that things start to assume their proper order in your life. To choose Christ and our participation in the life of his people, which is his church, we have to be willing to relinquish relationships, possessions, attitudes, and activities that want to usurp God's place, take it away from him. Only Christ can be in first place. Saint Cyprian, a bishop in North Africa in the middle of the 3rd century, recalling Christ's sacrifice on the cross, told his people, "Put nothing ahead of Christ, who put nothing ahead of you." Cyprian lived what he taught, dying a martyr for his faith rather than renouncing it for a few more years of life. With Christ at the center of your lives, you will also discover that what St. Paul tells us in the 2nd reading is true. He says, "We know that all things work for good for those who love God, who are called according to his purpose." But when I said earlier that God does nothing without purpose, I meant it. He has from all eternity called you and me into existence, and he wants us to flourish as body, soul, creatures made according to his image and likeness. In our baptism, we went beyond being creatures. We passed into being adopted sons and daughters of God, members of his family, his church. You have a great dignity as children of God. Your task and mine is to live up to it, and that means putting Christ at the center of our lives. So what about setbacks? Can all those work out for the good of people? And the disappointments and suffering, can they be for our good? Yes, for our God is able to bring good out of evil. From the injustice done to Jesus, the Father fashioned the salvation of the human race. A man who suffered an injury, he had to learn to walk again, told me the experience taught him humility and gave him empathy for those who had to make their way through life with handicaps and injuries worse than his. A woman who was disappointed that she did not get a job she had applied for received a call to consider another job. She took it, and it turned out to be the best job she ever had, as she told me. A woman of faith whose husband left her with 5 minor children turned to the Lord even more because she was already a woman of faith. She raised those children with a firm but fair hand and was rewarded with their love and loyalty, and she got older. Yes, my brothers and sisters, for those who love God, who are called according to his purpose, all things, even the hard things, work for good. So is anything holding you back? If it is, let go of it. Commit yourself to making Jesus Christ your buried treasure, your pearl of great price. Sell off everything that keeps you from embracing him and make him the center of your lives. When you enter the fullness of the kingdom of heaven, you will be met by the applause of the angels and saints. That is a homecoming worth striving for. Put nothing ahead of Christ, who put nothing ahead of you.